Good morning, most of all. It's a beautiful fall morning. It's not really that cold yet. The trees are showing their beautiful fall colors. Exciting to be outside in those days, to watch the beauty of creation, to enjoy what God has given us. Thank you, Elle and Gerard and Inge, for being with us today. Vova and your beloved and your children back from Turkey. Good to see you again also. And of course, everybody that is here today. And Omo, thank you for leading that Dutch song. Thank you so much. That was nice. That was a good surprise. Thank you. So yes, good morning to each and every one of you. What a joy to be together. What a joy to celebrate the death of Christ. Because in the death of Christ is our victory. In the death of Christ is our riches, are our riches. For those that live in, that have lived in the Netherlands for longer, the name Wilco Wietz, does that mean anything to you? Or the name Herman Dubois? Does that name ring a bell to some of you?
Yeah, but I don't know him, but...
Okay, the city of Putten. Does that ring a bell?
Putten?
Putten.
Yeah.
Now it comes together.
With the so-called crime.
Yes. Wilco Wietz and Herman Dubois, yeah. They were charged of a pretty severe crime. There was a girl, I believe she was in her 30s, and this happened about 25 years ago. I don't know exactly, but about 25 years ago. They were charged with the rape and murder of a girl that worked for the airlines. They were charged, and they sat in prison for 7 years. But what happened? There was a Dutch journalist, a Dutch reporter, and he is known, or I should say he was known, because he was shot about a year ago. But he believed in them that they were actually not guilty based on certain evidences. So after 7 years, they were freed. After 7 years, they got out of prison. They were fully and totally cleared from any guilt in that. And as a matter of fact, someone else was taken in who was charged, who actually did the crime. Well, we need to realize that when we listen to the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul had a difficulty with the Corinthians. One of the greatest difficulties was that they actually charged him with being a false apostle. The Apostle Paul was charged in many ways. But especially when you look at the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 10, of course, he goes into that when he says, some of you say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is of no account. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter when absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of you who are commanding themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Paul basically had to prove that he was a true apostle of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul ran into situations, and just more than this one, that he was charged with something that he did not do or that he did not was. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, where he already, in his first letter, goes into that principle when he says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or even by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from the Lord. Today, I would like to speak about that we are on trial every day. We are in the court of public opinion. And number two, I want to talk about, we are also in the court of personal opinion. And then the third one that we want to talk about, we will be in the court of divine opinion. So yes, with the words of Paul in verse 1, 2, and 3, he basically says, this is how one should regard us. So already in his first letter, he goes into the fact that they charged him with something that was not right. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And then Paul says this, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. And yes, when we look at this world, oftentimes people's actions are judged incorrectly. Has it ever happened to you that you did something and you said, wow, in your heart of hearts, you said, this is my motivation, why I am doing that. But then one day later, someone comes to you and says, you know, I know why you did that. I know you wanted to get into a better place with your employer. I know you did that because I know you wanted to get into a better place with your wife or with your husband or with your children. The very fact of the matter is that people almost constantly judge the things that they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And again, how sad that is. But it happens. Instead, people should ask us, if they don't know why, they should ask us, can you explain to me why? Can you explain to me why you said this or that? Can you explain to me why you did this or that? And of course, that does not always happen. And we also have to deal with the court of public opinion. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28, David was misjudged by his brothers. When he came to the battlefield, he came by the commandment of his father. His father said, David, I want you to go to the battlefield. But when he came to the battlefield, his brothers said, I know why you're coming. You have not good reasons for coming here. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, Ahab misjudged Elijah. Mark 3, verse 21, Jesus' own family were misguided when they said, you are mad. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was misjudged by even his own converts. Has it ever happened to you? And we know the stories, right? Especially in today's modern society with insight into DNA. With DNA, a lot of times people can be proven that they were not guilty or that they are guilty. But we know the stories, right? People that have been in prison for 10 years, for 20 years sometimes, or even longer. And DNA now proves they are not guilty. It happens to each one of us. And I am sure that you can tell your stories about being misjudged. And isn't that sad when people misjudge you? Isn't it sad when they don't ask you for your true motives? Isn't it sad when people say things about you that are incorrect? In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10, it says, the heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. That means only your own heart understands bitterness and understands true joy. No one else fully understands what is in your heart of hearts. And that is why it is so important that we ask somebody else, help me. Why did you do that? Help me. Why did you say that? Help me. Why did you do that? You know the story about the lady in the train, right? There was a lady in the train with four young children. And the lady was sitting in a corner as if she was in her own world. Four little children were running around in the train. And the longer it went on, the more people started to look at the children, look at the woman, and said, what's wrong with you? Can you not hold your children? And it went on like that. And the words got worse, but she was still in her corner and she didn't listen, or she didn't seem to listen. Then an older lady went to her. She went and sat next to her. Their eyes were on the same level. The old lady took the hands away from the younger woman. And he saw crying eyes. And the old lady said, please tell me, what's going on in your heart? She didn't say, what about those children? She said, what goes on in your heart? She said, 2 days ago, I buried her father. 2 days ago, my world was shattered. 2 days ago, my hopes are gone. And everybody in the whole train was quiet. Nobody said anything anymore. When they realized what was in the heart of this woman. And brothers and sisters, this morning in our Bible study, we talked about how we are to be servants of one another. One of the things, and I just have to look at myself, what we are often guilty of, we judge too many things without asking the real purposes behind it. Brothers and sisters, we should be known as people that do not judge human behavior, but are asking questions and lead and give them our helping hand, give them our helping shoulder, give them our helping hug, Give them our helping ear and say, help us to understand. And then say, how can I help you? That is true Christianity. But again, we are often in the court of public opinion. But let God help us that we, as believers in Christ, do not fall into that trap. Don't judge. Listen to other people, and you often hear a story that you didn't know. Gerard and Inge, you work in the world of helping people with issues, with problems. But on that level, we all are people that are a little psychiatrist. We all have that within us. And what is the most important thing when it comes to psychology? A listening ear. No judgment. Listen to their stories, and often you come to hear a story that you could not even imagine. We are to be the kind of people that ask and listen and care. The second court, according to Paul, is the court of personal opinion. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the second court? He says, as a matter of fact, I do not even judge myself. Paul basically says two things here. Paul says, I'm not aware of anything that is wrong in my life. But he said, that doesn't acquit me from anything that is wrong. I might convince myself that everything is well with me, but Paul said, I do not even judge myself. In that light, I always admire the words that David speaks in Psalms 139, when he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I always like that prayer. David basically says here, God, I am not aware of anything wrong in my life. But at the same time, he loves his God so much that he says, please, Lord, examine me. Please search me. Please try me. Because if there is anything in me that is grievous or that is wrong or that is sinful or that is incorrect, lead me in the way everlasting. Jeremiah chapter 17, a well-known verse, but I want to read it again. 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Brothers and sisters, as Paul said, I do not even judge myself. And brothers and sisters, I would like to say that is a trait of true Christianity. A trait of true Christianity says, I do not judge myself. I might be convinced that everything is okay, but that doesn't make it okay. We live in a world in which many people say, well, you know, I really haven't done that much wrong. But brothers and sisters, It is so important to us that we come to understand that the heart can be very deceitful. Do we think about this? That's why the Bible constantly says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. You might have it happen to you that somebody comes and restores something in your home. He says, oh, I'm a carpenter. Or you might have gone to the hairdresser and the hairdresser says, oh, yes, I'm a hairdresser. But then you walk away and you say, really? Are you a carpenter? The evidence is not there. Are you really a hairdresser? I don't see the evidence. We live in a world in which many people say, I am this or I am that. I can do this and I can do that. But sometimes we come to understand it is not true. Do we ever think about this? Do we have the love for God that says, please, Lord, try me? Please, Lord, examine me? Do we ask God that question sometimes with intent? Do we have that prayer like David? Because after all, brothers and sisters, the heart can be quite deceitful. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Though the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 says this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. Can I ask you to raise your hand? Well, actually, I mean, raise your hand when you are guilty of what it says here.
Read it again.
The Spirit says expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared. The Bible speaks about the fact that conscience can be seared. When you work with your hands, what's the English word, Jim, for ailed?
Callus.
When you work with your hands, you get calluses on your hands. Where in the beginning it would hurt you, but when the calluses are good and strong and have developed over a number of years, it doesn't hurt you anymore. Brothers and sisters, I would like to ask a fair question, an honest question. The Bible tells us that our conscience can be seared. We need to be careful. Paul says, I do not even judge myself. Paul says, I can judge myself, but what does it really say? That is why, brothers and sisters, we all need to look into the mirror of the faith. We all need to look in the mirror of the law of liberty. We all need to look into it. And that is what the book of James talks about. In a context where he says, works needs to be accompanied by faith, otherwise it doesn't mean anything. And he speaks about the man who walks up to the mirror, but then he walks away, not seeing what he really should be seeing. Brothers and sisters, when the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, don't we want to be right in everything that we do? Even when it hurts? When we truly love God. Evgeny, when you truly love your beloved Tanya, you don't want to hurt her. You want to really get to know her from inside out. You want to get to know everything about her because you love her. And you say, I don't want to hurt you. Omo and Mero, when you love one another, you don't want to hurt one another, right? You say, Mero, tell me about you. What are the things that you really enjoy? What are the things that makes you happy? What are the things that makes you happy when you come home at night? And Mero says, oh, I love red flowers. Or I love a good box of chocolate. Or I like the fact that you take me out to a good restaurant. And then what does Omo do? He calls the restaurant right away and says, I want to make a reservation because I love my Mero. When the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, we don't want to hurt God. And that is why the Bible says we need to examine ourselves. We need to look in the mirror and don't walk away. Ada, you talked this morning about weaknesses. I'm just looking at myself. I have weaknesses. I now know exactly what they are, and I need to be very careful. And sometimes it doesn't work. We all need to be fair. We all need to realize, most of all, I do not judge myself. That brings me to the less court, the court of divine opinion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am thereby not acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. And of course, in 2 Corinthians 10, as we have read, where Paul makes the statement in the 18th verse, for it is not the one who commands himself who is approved, but the one whom God approves. There will come a day that we will be judged by God. And what will be the standard? The standard is the truth. The truth found in Holy Scriptures. That will be the rule. And God's judgment is infallible. We already know that. When we look at the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, we learn that his judgment is infallible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we read that God's judgment is thorough. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, God's judgment is penetrating. Brothers and sisters, we don't scare one another, but we do want to be realistic. The Bible tells us we do not judge ourselves. It is God who judges us. And so, in conclusion, it is so important that, as James says, look into that mirror and don't walk away. When you find a weakness, We can even turn to God and say, God, there is a weakness in my heart and I cannot do it on my own. Then God says, I know, but I gave you the Holy Spirit to help you, to be strengthened in the inner man. God is not afraid of our weaknesses. God can do something amazing with our weaknesses. God can turn our weakness into something great. And we also know that from the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul talked about his thorn in the flesh. Paul prayed for it 3 times. Paul said, there is something in my life. I cannot deal with it. Please take it away. Did God say, figure it out by yourself? No. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. What a great God we have. What a great Father we have. What a loving Father we have. When we come to Him with our thorns in the flesh, when we come to Him with our weaknesses, when we come to Him with our battle, is He going to leave us alone? The Bible says our high priest is there to sustain us in times of grace, in time of need, in order to supply what we need. Is God good? I would say God is stunningly good. He is even there in our weaknesses and in our thorns in the flesh. But brothers and sisters, let us also remember, what is important in the life of a true Christian? Well, we can name many things, but the one that I would like to make mention of is this one. Not my will, but your will be done. That is important in the life of a Christian. And the question is, and that is the question that we're going to leave one another with, is this the most important question in your life? That not your will be done, but God's will be done? And yes, we will be in that public court every day. People will have to say things about us. But as Paul said, that doesn't really matter. Paul didn't really listen to those things. He gave them to God. But secondly, he did not even judge himself. He was fully aware of the fact that a judgment day was coming in which God is going to judge with his infallible judgment, with his most holy and righteous judgment. But let us also understand that the human heart can be deceitful. The human heart can sometimes walk and up to the mirror of the law of freedom. Some people stay there and say, God, what do I do with my weaknesses? What do I do with the fact that sometimes I want to pursue my own will instead of yours? And they listen for the answer of God. But some people see it and they walk away. What are we? Are we the person that stay with the mirror as long as is needed? Or are we the kind of people that look into that mirror of the perfect law of freedom, but then walk away? That is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Who are we? Amen.